And let's pray. Father, bless now the word that we're about to hear. May you give the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, may you speak to my heart as I preach the word. May you speak to the hearts of your people. May you anoint it. May you bless it. May you meet with us in a special way here tonight. Thank you for Sunday evening services. Thank you that we're free and we can gather together as the early Christians did. I pray for the young people. Keep them alert and pay attention to the message. May you speak to everyone's hearts, young and old. And Lord, we pray that if there's someone lost here tonight, they might come to Jesus and be saved. And we thank you for these things, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Feasting with Jesus. Did you ever notice how much Jesus likes to eat in the Bible? I mean, in the book of Luke, there's 8 times he's dining with other people in the book, just the book of Luke alone. Amen. That is encouraging to me. Amen. I want to follow Jesus. Amen. In fact, the Bible talks, Jesus said 3 times in the Bible, he says, the Son of Man is come. One of those times is the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that tells you why he came. Then it says the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give himself a ransom for many. And that tells you for what purpose he came. And then lastly it says the Son of Man has come eating and drinking. That shows you how he came. Amen. You ever think about that? Jesus said that. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking. Praise the Lord. You know what? They said he hath a devil. They criticized the Lord and everything he did. But the Lord was a common man. He ate with the commoners. Amen? And that's one thing about a good meal, is you can just be yourself. God has given us good things to eat. Luke chapter 7, verse 34, is the Son of Man has come eating and drinking. And the Lord ate with a lot of people. He ate with a tax collector one time in the Bible. Look in Mark chapter 2. I mean, of all people that you talk about he eateth with publicans and sinners. If a tax collector ain't the worst kind of sinner, amen? Can I get an amen? I mean, nobody likes the IRS. Well, I mean, when somebody asks you, work for the IRS, what do you do? Well, I'm a tax collector. Oh, you don't tell people that. You say, oh, I freelance. I do kind of, side jobs and stuff. You don't want to tell anybody you're working for the IRS. But this man here in Mark chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, I mean, think about who would you like to eat with tonight? If there was one person on earth that was living and you say, I would really like to have a meal with that person. I don't know who that would be. It's kind of an interesting question. Who would you like to sit down and eat with today? If you could eat with anybody that's alive. He is alive, brother. Amen. I want to eat with him today too. Amen. Hopefully it'll be soon. But, there's some people I wouldn't want to eat with, I guess. I can think of. But, the Lord would eat with anybody. He ate with the Pharisees. Amen. He ate with the publicans and sinners. He ate with Zacharias. He ate with Levi here. Mark chapter 2, the Pharisees said, Lord, if you knew what manner of person that was, you wouldn't have anything to do with them. And the Lord ate with a lot of people that were unlikely fellows. Amen. He had fellowship with them. Here's a tax collector. People hated those men. They were despised. And he sat in the seat of customs. In verse 14 it says, and as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the seat of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many that followed him. You know, that guy said, follow me. And what did he do? He had the man take him to his house, and he had dinner with him. You know, Jesus wants to feast with us, too. He likes to eat with his people. Amen? A big part of the Bible is breaking of bread. The early church, look in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. If you got your Bible with you, look in Acts chapter 20. What does it say here? It tells you that they got together like we did tonight to have food. Food is a great way to fellowship. It's a great way to get together and just be yourself and enjoy having something in common with other people. You know, I never met a person that didn't like to eat, amen, except my wife. She told me when she was a little girl, they had to take her to the hospital because she didn't like to eat. Now, that is a real syndrome right there. I can't imagine anybody not liking eating, amen. I don't know, but thank God they cured it, amen. But my wife didn't like to eat when she was a little girl. I can't imagine. There's some people don't like to drink water, some people, but nobody doesn't like to eat. Something was wrong with her, amen. God made us to eat. God put a hunger in you. That's a natural thing for everybody to want to eat. And the Lord wants us to have a feast with Him. And the Bible talks about it in Acts chapter 20. What did the believers get together to do? The Bible says in chapter 20, verse 7, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread." I mean, the first thing on the list is they got together. It wasn't the Lord's Supper here. I believe they just got together and had food together. Amen. You know why? Because it made them close to, together, made them more like family. One of the things missing in church today is there's a formality in churches, and people just need to let down their hair a little bit and just be family. Amen. Like we did tonight. Just have some food and fellowship and just be yourself. Food will do that. Amen. It'll bring the worst enemies together at times. Sometimes when you have a common meal, you can see eye to eye. And Jesus would do that. He came down from heaven's glory, and he just wanted to eat with some sinners and publicans. He eateth with publicans and sinners. And in the Bible it says, and he eateth with them. One little girl went home from Sunday school, and she said, "Jesus wants to have dinner with me tonight." And he said, "Why?" "They told me in school that Jesus will sit down with publicans and sinners and eateth with them." Her name was Edith. You know, it's like that little girl back in the Psalms that said, her name was Shirley. She said, "And surely goodness and mercy, surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee all the days of life." She said, "God said that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life because my name's Shirley. Surely goodness." But a big part of the early church was they ate together. In fact, Paul got to preaching here too long. I won't do that tonight. Hopefully, he preached till midnight after they broke bread. He got to preaching and waxing eloquent, and one fellow fell asleep. Hey, people have been falling asleep in churches since the days of Paul, so I don't feel too bad. Amen. Some of you already nodding after about three pieces of chicken and some of that shepherd's pie and a little bit of lasagna. Them carbohydrates go, I'm in competition right now with the carbs. Amen. Some of you want to lay back, take your ease and, amen. But Paul was preaching, they broke bread, and what happened? This fellow's eyes were, he's up there in the upper chambers and he's sitting by the window getting some fresh air, and this thing, whoop, he's out the window. And you know what they did for him? And the Bible says in verse 11, and you read down there, and it says, and when where are we at? In chapter 20, verse 11, it says, when he therefore was come up again, he got risen from the dead. Preaching will raise you up, amen. Saints got around and prayed for him. And God got him back on his feet and healed him up. And you know what they did as soon as he came back on his feet? And had broken bread, amen. They started eating again. They were good Baptists. Here they had breaking bread. They got the preaching. They said, "Man, the guy's dead. Get him up. Wake him up. Get him up." And they gave him CPR, prayed over him. And next thing you know, man, they said, "All right, time to eat." Time to eat. They broke bread. They didn't fast. They didn't say, "We better go home, man. Thank God he's alive." They said, "Man, let's start having fellowship again." Amen. That's good when churches are like that. When you don't want to go home. Amen. There's something good happening when you're at church and after the preaching and the altar call and you say, "Hey, I'm just enjoying being at church." A lot of times people just zoom to their cars and can't wait to head out. Hey man, church around here starts 11 o'clock sharp, 11 o'clock sharp, and 12 ends 12 o'clock dull. Amen. You get that, right? I said, church around here starts at 11 o'clock sharp and ends 12 o'clock dull. God help us. We need churches where people get excited about it, as excited as having a steak dinner. Amen. I'm talking about eating with Jesus. I'm talking about eating His Word. I'm talking about eating with the fellowship of the saints. Jesus once raised a maiden in the Bible. Luke chapter 8, verse 51. Look at that, Luke chapter 8, 51. And here this little girl was dead, and Jesus said she wasn't dead, she's just sleeping. And they laughed Him to scorn. They mocked Jesus Christ. And this little girl, just a picture of you and I, dead in our sins, and Jesus came along. 8:51. The Bible says here, it says, and when he had come into the room, into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John. Those are the three that were close to him. And the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. That's a King James-ism, amen? You won't find it. They laughed him to scorn. Knowing that she was dead. Yeah, she was dead, but Jesus said she's coming back to life. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. First thing Jesus said is, feed her. Amen. The Lord said, give her something to eat. As soon as you got saved, you know what? The Lord said, feed her. Give her something to eat. Get in your Bible, Christian. You know why Christians are emaciated spiritually? And there's a leanness of soul today. Christians don't read through their Bible anymore. Christians don't meditate in the Word of God anymore. Christians don't memorize Scripture. And we have what the Bible calls leanness of soul. Leanness of soul. You know, if you're going to sit around, if you're going to have a feast with Jesus, you need to hear the call. Look in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. You know, when my dad and Dina was telling me the same thing, when we were called to the dinner table, they expected you to materialize some way magically right there around the table. They said, dinner time, boom, you better be there right there. They expect you to already have your hands washed or something. That's the way it should be, amen? Dinner time, there's a respect for that. Mother worked hard over that stove and she baked and she cooked. And now you're being called to the table. You know what, Christians? They don't hear the call anymore. If you're going to have a feast with the saints and you're going to get around the table, you want to hear the call. It's dinner time. The Lord once in the Bible says, come and dine. That was the call. The Lord's calling us tonight. Come and dine. Come and dine. Get in church again. Get excited about church again. Get excited about the things of God. We need reviving and we need good food. We need to get around the table. We need to enjoy the morsels of God's dainties around His table. God said, can God provide a table in the wilderness? Yes, God has spread the table. Jesus has the table spread, the song goes, where the saints of God are fed. And He calls His chosen people, come and dine. There He fills their heart's desires, bread and fish upon the fire. To His chosen ones, the Lord, He calleth, come and dine. Hey, the Lord's calling you and I to come and dine. Church is open. But people today don't appreciate it. Luke chapter 14, we read a story that Jesus told and lamented that He sent forth His servants and said, go out and compel them to come to my house. There's a feast. And people didn't come. Where's that at? What verse, Dina? It's 14:16. Okay. And the Bible says here, then said He unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. You know, I think about Jesus. What a heartbreak it is to Him. This whole world. He made a supper for the world. He said, I prepared good things for you. The Bible says, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. The Lord will fill, He feedeth you with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalms 103 talks about God feeding His people with good things. God has given us good things to enjoy in our spiritual life. You know, Jesus said, He sent men out and said, come. And He sent His servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. That's a picture of salvation. And it's, you know, it's a picture of Christ saying, come to my table and I'll feed you. And you can feast with Jesus. There's a call that's gone out. I was one of eight children. I mean, when you got called to the dinner table, if you were out playing in the woods, you come home. Hey, there were times there ain't nothing left. And my mother, she'd make fried chicken like we had tonight, man. I mean, I like chicken. I was living down south where they make fried chicken. They got Church's fried chicken. They got Popeyes. They got Kentucky Fried Chicken and about three other different fried chicken places. Down south, they say the preachers are all foul-mouthed. They eat so much chicken. Amen. They had one old preacher. He lost his dentures down. I mean, excuse me. Yeah, they lost his dentures. He looked down in a well and they fell down in the well. So he lowered a chicken bone down in there and the teeth latched onto it. You know, they're so used to eating chicken. Amen. Brother Matt, it took him a while. So, you know, I love eating fried foods, but they ain't good for you. Amen. They know how to cook down there. Fried okra and fried hominy and fried chicken and fried potatoes and just everything's fried. They say they eat better down south. They die younger too. But you need to hear the call. You need to hear the call. There's a call to come to church. There's a call to come to the dinner table. And American history, our history started with the pilgrims and the Indians sitting around a table. Amen. And that was taught us as children in school. I think of many times in my life what afforded me opportunities through dinners. Many times when we first went to Ukraine, people would open their homes to us and they'd sit us down and they gave us all kinds of things we never ate in life before. You know what you do? You eat it. You say, this is good. Thank you. You might not even like it. You want to be a missionary and try to reach somebody? You sit down at a common table. They'd put the vodka out and drink it. And Dina would have three drinks of that. And and I'd say, no, I'm not a drinker, but you can give my wife mine. And no. But she didn't drink. I'm joking. Don't spread the word, you know. But there was one time, I'll just tell you a funny story. Our neighbors was this older couple, and we witnessed them many times. And one time I had a good opportunity to witness to his wife, and it was New Year's Eve, and we were in there, and they were drinking. They offered us, you know, vodka and stuff. We said no, and I was witnessing her, and the TV, they always have music and people dancing. So he grabbed Dina and started dancing with her. And I was going through the Romans Road, and about 5 minutes later, Dina's like, hurry up. And he's doing the dance, and he's putting her down like this, and every once in a while she's swinging by the couch, and he's like, come on. And I finally led that woman to the Lord while Dina was keeping him preoccupied dancing. And by the way, she died like sometime after that from cancer, but what a blessing, amen, that my wife knows how to dance. You can dance for Jesus, amen. There were times I led a 73-year-old woman named Alexandria to the Lord. And I got up into a tree, and there were mulberries up in the tree, and she gave me a bowl to pick mulberries. I looked at that bowl, and it was encrusted with all kinds of old food on the sides. And I was like, ew, just turned my stomach. And I filled it up with some mulberries and handed it down, and they took them and washed them and put them somewhere for us to eat. And I got down out of that tree, and they had soup was on the table. And when I got there, this old, mind you now, it's a 73-year-old lady living by herself out in the village, a place called, I just can't remember the village now, but she lived on Lennon Street. And here this old woman told us about how that she watched her brothers and sisters all starve to death in 1933. Talked about her mom and dad laying in their beds, couldn't move until they died of starvation. And it broke your heart listening to that story called the Holodomor. That's what that's called, the Holodomor. And that was when 10 million Ukrainians starved to death that winter, very cold winter. No food. She talked about looking in the fields and trying to dig for potatoes and eating leaves off of trees and things like that. Just couldn't imagine to survive as a little girl. And when I got down there to eat on the table, there were these old chicken eggs. And everybody was putting their egg yolk. It had little strings off the egg yolk. Looked like little eyeballs with strings attached. I just couldn't. It turned your stomach now. I know some of you are going, ooh. But, and then I had one in there, and then everybody had put theirs in my bowl. So I had like 5 egg yolks with those little strings, and I ate every one of them. And they were ghastly. And I ate that soup, and I said, thank you, your soup is really good. Amen, I lied. Why? I care about her soul. Amen. I remember reading about a story about Darlene Rose and how that she was eating food one time in a home down there in the Philippines, and some rat ran across up in the rafters, and some things fell down in a pot of soup, and it was some baby birds in the soup. And she ate that soup. And she talks about the things that she suffered there and survived the Japanese and the war. Read them stories. And I was eating that bowl, and I ate all those eggs, and I got all the way down in that bowl of soup, and it was that same bowl that I was eating out of. It was the one I was picking the mulberries from in the tree. Hey, man, I'm not worried about COVID. I mean, you just got to do what you got to do and trust God by faith, live in life. I mean, what we do as kids, you fall on the ground, you kiss it up to God and eat it. Amen. There's all kinds of dirt I've eaten. I've learned to eat dirt. And that's why my immunities are good. I was in the subway system with my wife one time, and I was touching the subway map on the wall, and there was a glass there. And my wife, she's such a clean freak. She's such a germaphobe. She's like, don't touch the glass. I said, why? There's germs all over it. And I went, okay. She just about divorced me that time, too. I said, more germs. Germs are good. I don't know why you're so afraid of germs. We all need germs. Amen. What happened to Americans? Man, we've been through World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam, and we're going to die from germs. Well, Jesus said, come. Come and dine. It was for all. For all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. You know what people are doing today? They make an excuse why they can't come and dine with Jesus. Hey, there's a call. Come. The table's set. The table's spread. Mama's worked hard. The food is on the table. It's hot. I'm too busy with my friends. I'm too busy to appreciate what God has done. That's what people are. Unthankful. You know what you need also? You need a good appetite. I mean, look at Isaiah 29, verse 8. I don't know, maybe this verse, I don't know if it applies. I just thought it was an interesting verse. I was reading through and looking at different verses for this. Look at Isaiah 29, verse 8. And the Bible says here, it shall even be as when an hungry man dreameth, and beholdeth he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. It's like that one big heavyset guy, he thought he was eating cream puffs, and in the morning all his wife's hair curlers were gone. Amen? No, she believed me. All right. What's it like here? It's like somebody having a dream, they got an appetite. But here it goes on to say what? He has an appetite. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. You know, your soul ought to have an appetite. I just thought that was an interesting phrase. His soul hath appetite. Do you have an appetite in your soul for the food of God? You know, we like things when you're walking down the street, you smell something like a hamburger. I got into my truck today, and my son lied to me. I got out of church, I got in that truck, and I knew there were hamburgers in that truck just before I got in that truck, sometime before that. And I come out and said, "Where'd you go? Where'd you eat?" He goes, "I didn't eat nothing." I said, "You're lying. You're lying like a dog. You had hamburgers. Where'd you go?" He goes, "I went to Wendy's. I went and get me one." You know, but there's something in the smell, amen? There's an appetite. Do you have a good appetite for the things of God? Have you lost your appetite, Christian? I mean, you need a good appetite. Do you ever notice how all the feasts in the Old Testament were connected with their worship? God says, when you get together, roast these lambs and offer sacrifice and bring bread and bring fruits and bring the harvest and enjoy it. Amen? There's something about church. You ought to bring appetite. You ought to come to church and develop an appetite. You know what happens is, when you're a kid, you like macaroni and cheese and you like mashed potatoes, but you don't really like trying anything new. And there's a lot of Christians who just stay there their whole life, spiritually. You know what you do as you mature? You say, "I want to try new things. I'm going to adventure out and try different things in restaurants and try to develop an appetite." Christian, you may have, you know, when you first got saved, it's okay to understand just the simple things, but you know what? You got to grow in the Lord and start studying books and read deeper things. Get a hold of some good spiritual materials and develop an inward soul's appetite. And grow up from being a kid. Look in Job 34, verse 2. Job 34. This man had a great appetite for the things of God. Job. There are Christians that just love mama's milk and they're never going to get much more. And they don't have any appetite for anything else. But God didn't make us to stay babies. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to grow spiritually. He'll put you through things and give you an appetite. Good things should fill our spiritual palate. You should have an appetite for good things. Good music. Good books. Good friends. Good fellowship. Good conversation. Uplifting conversation. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are... what does it say? True. Think on these things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise. You know, what things are you digesting? What things are you feeding on tonight, Christian? What is your appetite for? You know why a lot of Christians are out of church? They got an appetite for other things. The worldly things. In Job, in chapter 34, verses 2 and 4, 2 through 4, it says, "Hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. For the ear trieth words, as the mouth tasteth meat. Let us choose to us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good." You know, just as you have a tongue for tasting things that go to your stomach, you have ears. You should listen to good things. What are you feeding your soul? What's your appetite for? Out of the abundance of the heart, what the mouth speaketh. What are you putting into your heart, Christian? You need to beware. There's so much filth out there today. There's so much garbage. There's so much in music that's destroying our youth. So much on TV. I got to be careful as a parent. There were movies that maybe I saw and then I watch them. Man, the language, I can't believe it. And I said, "Wow, I didn't remember it being this bad." You ever do that? There's so, the stuff. I mean, it used to be made for TV, I think. And then nowadays, it's not screened or nothing. And you can't hardly listen too far before they're taking the Lord's name in vain and they're using the F word and everything else. Even the kids' movies. What I'm appalled at is they'll have little children listening to it in the movie. They're doing stuff before little children in movies. It's child abuse. And so it's what we have is there's garbage. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you tasted? Do you have an appetite to see the things of God? Say, God, put that hunger in me. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. God's people need to get that appetite. We have a calling to come to the table. We have an appetite. Do you have one to eat? And thirdly, I want to say, you are what you eat. You ever hear that? You are what you eat. Brother, I heard Brother Carl tell me, he said, a fat man, they told him, you are what you eat, so he ate up a skinny man. It didn't work. You ever think about that simple thought, though? You are what you eat. And they say that about computers, garbage in, garbage out. We're like that. What do we put in our hearts? What kind of garbage do we put in our thought life? What are things that we expose in ourselves to? It's no wonder as Americans are so just becoming so and behaving so wicked today. Hollywood, the world, the music they listen to, the rap, the hip-hop, the messages, the young people, they're teaching them to be beasts. Look in Proverbs 23, 2 through 8. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. You have an appetite? I think I might have meant this for the last part, but let's look here anyway. Proverbs 23. Still a good passage. We'll read that. And it says here, verse 1, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is put before thee. What's put before you? Consider diligently, Christian. What's on the table? You are what you eat. The Bible says, it says to eat honey, but eat so much as what? Sufficient for thee. Lest thou be filled and what? And vomit. Too much of a good thing can be bad too. Amen. He said, too much honey, you can get too much. But here, this is bad stuff. He says, here, watch out. Watch out what's on the table. And put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Put a knife to thy throat. Yeah, slice your throat. It's saying, put an end to the food. And he says here, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. Hey, there's going to be times in your life where the world's going to tempt you with offerings to be rich and to make it in this life, but you'll just have to compromise your faith. You're just going to have to go down the wrong road with the wrong person for a little while, and you can have the things you want. That's basically what it's saying. Riches. Hey, this man's rich. This man can offer me some things. But I just got to make a few compromises in my Christian walk. Don't eat his dainty meats. Don't eat at the same table with that man. It says he's evil. He hath an evil eye. You are what you eat. You are who you eat with, in a sense. Who are your companions? Proverbs is all about that, young person. Go not with them. They say, hey, let us go and we're going to shed blood. Let's go there for you young people. Proverbs chapter 1. It says, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, as whole and whole, as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Hey, man, you can go with us and you can get all kinds of stuff, free stuff. You get all kinds of goods. You're going to be rich. You're going to have to do some wicked things. You know, young people are doing that today. They're marauding in our streets. Young people today are doing all kinds of wicked things. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, prostitution, fornication, adultery, child trafficking. All kinds of wickedness, young person. Don't go with them. Put a knife to thy throat. Televisions filling minds with all kinds of wicked ideas. One man said, I saw television go from its infancy to adultery. Amen. You get that? I've seen television go from its infancy to adultery. That's basically what it went from. It was real simple at first. Howdy doody. You know, and Buck Rogers and Dale Evans and Flash Gordon. And then later on, the Brady Bunch and things like that. It seems Yeah, pretty horrible. Now what do we have? Now what's going on TV? All kinds of queer nation and lesbians and sodomites and normalizing all kinds of wicked things in this country. And all kinds of other wicked things. You can't even, I can't even imagine what they're showing nowadays. They got movies just about the devil himself and his son and this and that. And I think one was called Lucifer. I'd seen advertised. Lucifer. I mean, let's watch this program. It's called Lucifer. Good night, man. What are kids watching today? What do you expect them to behave? Whatever, you are what you eat. If you eat junk food, one guy went out and he ate a whole month's worth of, all he ate was McDonald's. I didn't watch that. Anybody watch that? Supersize it, right? Yeah, I guess the guy nearly died after that. But spiritually, that's what people are doing. They're going to churches to get junk food. They're going wherever their pleasure takes them, and it's not nutritious spiritually, it's not healthy, and it's going to kill you. But it tastes good for a while. I can't imagine after a while it just stinks. I can imagine that grease and all that slop after a while, just nauseating. Amen. It's what, yeah, you can't imagine. You know what? When you get off that junk, sometimes if you just start eating vegetables and fruits, you'll find those things taste actually better than the fried garbage. But it's just the way we've been trained. It's the way we've been raised to think that's what your body needs. Junk food. I'm a junk food junkie. I got to watch out. I got to go the nine steps, and I got to go to the junk food junkies anonymous. I stand up and say, "Hi, my name's Ed, and I'm a junk food junkie." Some of you don't know what to think. It's addictive. And so is all kinds of the garbage in the world, folks. And people don't enjoy a good meal. Jesus has the table spread. We have good doctrine. We have good church. And we have good fellowship. But nonetheless, there's something always pulling you back to the old Mickey D's, right? Spiritually. You got mom's good home cooking there. Healthy. And it's good for you. And it's nutritious. But there's something about the world that always calls your flesh. You are what you eat. What table are you sitting at anyway? The Lord says, yea, they spake against God. Let's look there. Psalms 78, verse 19. Psalm 78, 19. God has a table spread tonight. You ought to be fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. How much time do we really spend at the table of God? How much time do we spend in prayer and fellowshipping, eating with the Lord? Just the times you pray is when you eat your food? Is there just a time when you... Do you really have a time when you fellowship with the Lord? The Bible says here in verse 19 and 20 and 21. Let's read that. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock and that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. That's my last point. You don't want to criticize the chef. You know what? People aren't thankful today. They come and sit at the table and eat up and run off from the table. You didn't do that in our house. You thank Mom. You say, thank you, Mom. What happened to the days when people were thankful for what God's done? Nowadays, they don't even eat together. Everybody throws food in the microwave and one eats at 5 and one eats at 7 and they don't even get together. There's a table, amen, and God wants His people to get together. The old timers would say, this is dinner time and this is the time you eat. And when dad or mom would call you to the table, you'd run to the table. And that's when you'd talk and you'd have fun and enjoy fellowshipping with your mom and dad and your family. Christians, let's keep the old ways. Amen. The Lord was wroth. The Lord was angry with His people because they didn't believe His table was good anymore. Jesus compelled them and said, come in. And you know what? They didn't want to. They began to make excuses. And Jesus said, all right, go out to the highways and compel others to come. Go out everywhere and call in anybody, not even my friends, and they'll come. You know what? The Jews had their Savior, and He came to His own. And you know what? They didn't want Him. And I wonder today, what does the Lord think about the churches of America, where the Word of God's being preached? And there's so much, there's too many other things going on. Lord, I can't come. I bought a team of oxen. Lord, I just married. Lord, I just bought a piece of property. Lord, I have this going on in my life. And we're too busy to come to the table. Are we too busy to spend time with the Lord? Is there so much to do really that you don't have time to fellowship and feast with Jesus who has the table spread? The Lord says, come and dine tonight. And God has given us good things. Look in Psalms 103. We're right over there. We might as well go there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. That's being thankful, Christian. Won't you bless the Lord tonight and say, thank you, Lord, for my mom and dad. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my home. Thank you, Lord, for a bed to sleep in tonight. I mean, if it would just... one of the reasons I want to take the kids to Ukraine is just to see how other people live in the world. It'd be good if you can go down to India and go out there and see how kids play on a dung heap and on a refuse pile, on a pile of refuse. It'd be good to see some of the way that people live in squalor in other places in the world, like Ethiopia and places in Africa where they have nothing. They have no toys. They have nothing they can throw away. I think about us in America and how much we throw in the garbage. Oh, that this time for Christmas, whole nother set of toys. How many of these drones, you know, the little blades, and you throw them in the garbage after about a year, and the little remote control cars. And how many things we've enjoyed in life that just break down and you throw away. And there are places in the world where kids would just love to have one little toy. So what are we talking about? That's reality, Christian. We've been so fed and had so much goodness, we got to be careful that we don't get like Israel, who complained about what God had prepared for them in the wilderness. Their hearts had grown fat. Let's not get fat around the table. Let's exercise what we know. And let's have a good appetite. Amen? Let's be good witnesses this week. Go out and exercise your faith. If God puts you in a trial, give God the glory. Don't be bitter this week and complain and murmur against the Lord. Say, thank you, Lord, even for this. Lord, help me in this trial. Lord, help me to sit at your table with a good attitude and a good spirit. And let me have fellowship with you. And the Bible says here, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Isn't that great? The Son of Man has come. Eating and drinking. Amen. You know, why did he do that? Because he wants to eat and drink with you. He wants to reside with you. He wants to fellowship with you this week. He's looking for someone this week to fellowship with. Will it be you? Will you have time to sit at the Lord's table and fellowship with him? He's inviting you to come and say, hey, even that man, Jesus invited him, he says, and he went to that man's house. Isn't that neat? And he ate at that man's table. He said, follow me. And where do you take him? Back to that guy's house. Jesus said, follow me. He said, I stand at the door and knock. Follow me. I want to come to your house and eat. Will you follow Jesus? Will you have fellowship with him? Who satisfies thy mouth, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's go ahead and sing. Brother Joel, come on up, brother.